Blog Talk Radio.
Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, I greet you in Jesus' mighty name. This is Brother Jim, and this is Gathering of the Saints Fellowship, Blog Talk Radio Blogcast. And here we are on another Thursday night, so we thank God for that. We thank God for getting us through the week so far, and we thank God for everything He's done for us. He's been good to us. God's been patient, and He's been like a good shepherd with a rod and a staff, and that's what He does. And so we thank God for that. I greet you all in Jesus' mighty name. Tonight, it's on my heart to look at a message. I entitled this, "Is It Well?" Enduring in Trials. Because there's times where it's hard to say it's well. I've been there, and most likely, if you're listening to my voice, you've been there as well. It is hard sometimes to say it is well, but that's what God wants us to be able to say in all circumstances, and I wanted to cover that tonight. And in the world, I mean, there's just times, I mean, apart from Christ, there's times it's not going to be well. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. But in Christ, as Christians, we can say it is well at all times. And so I want to encourage us tonight along these lines. So we're going to open up in prayer, and then we'll get down to this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We give your name praise. We give your name glory. We know there's no other God besides you. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the King of glory, King of peace. You're our provider. You're our healer. You do everything for us, Lord. You are everything in our all. And we bless your mighty name right now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for providing for our needs as you promised in your word, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for food on our tables, clothes on our backs to cover us, coverings over our heads. We thank you, Lord God, for taking care of us and watching over us. We thank you, Lord, for the camping of angels around the saints. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for healing hands. We thank you for our jobs. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the brethren. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, that you take care of us and that you care for each one of us, and we praise your mighty name. Heavenly Father, I pray you forgive us of our sins, Lord. Every single wicked thought, word, or deed we've done, forgive us. Wash us in the blood. Every garment, spot on our garment, every wrinkle, every stain, Lord God, wash in the blood of Jesus Christ right now. Father, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Heavenly Father. I pray for everything we should have done and didn't do. Forgive us for that, Lord God. I pray you'd keep us from presumptuous sins. Cleanse us from secret faults in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to perfect holiness, perfect our holiness, Heavenly Father, in you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would continue to walk after you, Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, that our steps would be ordered aright. I pray we would be on the narrow path, Lord God, and not on slippery slope, but on the sure rock, which is Jesus Christ. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would keep us and preserve us. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd watch over us, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Heavenly Father, for the blood of Jesus as a shield and covering on all those that are part of this prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for the blood of Jesus. Dip us in the blood, shield us in the blood. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan hates the blood of Jesus Christ, and we know that there's power in the blood. There's forgiveness of sins in the blood. There's victory in the blood, be able to overcome in the blood. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for overcoming, the spirit of overcoming on each of us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, to help us overcome any single thing that the enemy's thrown at us, Lord God, every single mountain. Heavenly Father, we're going to declare it's going to be moved and cast away from us into the sea in Jesus' mighty name. I pray you'd help us over every mountain, every hill, Lord God. I pray every crooked path would be made straight in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be on a straight, narrow path. I pray, Lord, that we would not stray, Lord God, that we would be of singleness of eye, Heavenly Father. And I pray we'd be of singleness of heart with the saints in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray you bless tonight's message and take it to those that you'd have to hear it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Bless us. Increase our faith. Lord, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith, Lord, to help us to be people of faith. Help us to walk from faith to faith. Help us to have a good report by faith. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray and ask all these things. Amen. So let's get to this. So there's a song, I'm sure you've sang it, and if not, I mean, you could look it up, but it's called It Is Well With My Soul. And it's that was written by, the words were written by Horatio Spafford. And I'm sure you're familiar, I'm not going to sing it for us, but it's "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And the second, I'm just going to read the stanzas. "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but in the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." And finally, "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend, even so, it is well with my soul." And I want to read that first verse, that first stanza again, and then I'm going to read you the history of how this song came about. It says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Now, you could say, well, those are good words. I mean, they're a blessing for sure. But maybe the man who wrote them had no problems. Maybe he was, you know, was well taken care of. And, I mean, anyone can write lyrics like that. But that's not how this song came about. And I just want to briefly, I usually don't get too far away from Bible scriptures, but I think it's appropriate tonight's message. I wanted to read about this man briefly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but "It Is Well With My Soul," again, by Horatio Spafford, I'm hoping I'm saying his last name right. But Horatio Spafford lived from 1821 to 1888. He was a wealthy Chicago lawyer with a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. So as the world would look at it, say, man, he's living the American dream, right? He had four daughters and a son. He was also a devout Christian and faithful student of the scriptures. His circle of friends included Dwight L. Moody, Ira Sankey, and various other well-known Christians of the day. At the very height of his financial and professional success, Horatio and his wife suffered the tragic loss of their young son. Shortly thereafter, on October 8, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed almost every real estate investment that Spafford had. So he loses his son, which is tragedy beyond tragedy. Then, shortly thereafter, every single real estate investment he had was destroyed in the Chicago Fire of 1871. In 1873, Spafford scheduled a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters a much-needed vacation and time to recover from the tragedy. He also went to join Moody and Sankey on an evangelical campaign in England. Spafford sent his wife and daughter ahead of him while he remained in Chicago to take care of some unexpected last-minute business. Several days later, he received notice that his family's ship had encountered a collision and all four of his daughters drowned. Only his wife had survived. With a heavy heart, Spafford boarded a boat that would take him to his grieving Anna in England. It was on this trip that he penned those now famous words, "When sorrow like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." So you can see that this brother, that's a lot. I mean, that's similar to Job, not quite as drastic, but it's similar to Job. And he was still able to pen the words, "Whatever my lot, the Lord has taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And that can only come from the peace of Jesus Christ. In that type of trial, where you've lost your son, you've lost a lot of your income, and then you lose your four daughters, all in looked like about a two-year period. To be able to say, "It is well with my soul," is only by the grace of Jesus Christ. Those losses, that's not easily over. In the world, you may never overcome that. But by the grace of Jesus Christ, this brother was able to overcome that and indeed say, "It is well with my soul." So I don't know what you're going through tonight. Maybe you've lost a son, four daughters, and your income. I don't know. Like this brother here, this Horatio Spafford. But even he said, it is well with my soul. And if you've had far less than that, if he can say it's well with my soul, then we have to be able to say it's well with my soul, especially when we've lost less. It doesn't mean what you've lost or suffered is trivial. It doesn't mean what you've lost or suffered, that God doesn't care or it's not big enough for him to care about. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this brother lost a lot, and he still said, it is well with my soul. And so that's something I wanted to start this message off with. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18. Tonight's message isn't, I'm not planning on it being very long. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18. If I can get there, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18. And it says, in fact, we'll back up just a little. Verse 16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, so that it may be well with thee. Do that which is right and good in the sight of God, and it will be well with thee. That doesn't mean there's not trials during that same time. That doesn't mean there's not loss or temptation or hurt or pain or loss of job, loss of family members, loss of health. What it means is if you're obedient to God and you're doing that which is right and good in the sight of God, you'll be able to say, regardless of circumstance, it is well with me. When you're not able to say that is when you're not doing that which is right and good with God. Now, in the world, someone may say, oh, it's going great. Apart from Jesus Christ, it's going great. But that type of thing is fleeting. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Someone apart from Christ can have the great house and the great spouse and the great job and all the money and the beautiful kids and everything in the world going for them, and they can say it's well with me. And that day it is. On a human level, it is well. But when houses burn down and children are lost and health, you have cancer and the job fires you, it's not well all of a sudden. And if that's all you had to begin with, you have nothing. It is not well with you. But in Christ, regardless of circumstance, regardless of what Satan throws at you, what God allows, etc., you can still say it's well with me as long as I'm doing that which is right and good with God. And that's the thing right there. I'm going to read verse 18 again. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, and so that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. So if you want it to be well with you, the only way that can be is you've got to be right with God. You've got to be doing that which is right and good. And then it will be well with you, even if by the world standards, things aren't going so great. Maybe you're waiting on that job and there's a spirit of delay that you need to overcome. Maybe you've got a health issue. Maybe you've had a loss of financial gain. Maybe you've had loss of relatives, of family members. But if you're obedient and doing that which is right in God through all of that, you can still say it is well with me. And that's because being right with God, if you are right with God, it is well with you, regardless of what goes on around you. And I'm going to say that again. The reason the Bible can make this claim is that if you are doing that which is good and right in the sight of God, then no matter what is going on around you or in your life or et cetera, in your house or in your job or whatever, you can still say it is well with me because I at least am right with God. And that's all you need at the end of the day, because being right with God is what's going to make you into heaven for you. Now, there's a lot involved. What's that mean, being right with God? What's that mean? That's a whole other discussion. And I don't really plan on getting into that tonight, but it has to do with the previous verse, diligently keeping his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. And that's how you do that. And if you're obedient and faithful, you can say it's well with me. And that's because as long as you've got God on your side, if God be with you, who can be against you? That's where that verse comes from. If God be with you, who can be against you? God's with you if you are doing that which is good and right in His sight. Now, again, I'm talking to born-again believers because you're the only ones on the whole planet that can do that which is good and right in the sight of God. An unbeliever cannot do that which is good and right in the sight of God. Why is that, Brother Jim? Because an unbeliever, even though an unbeliever can do something that is good, an unbeliever can give good gifts, an unbeliever can have an act of righteousness, feeding the poor or whatever, in the sight of God, outside of Jesus Christ, those acts of goodness are but filthy rags. God does not accept those because it's outside of the one true door He created to go through to get right with Him, and that door is Jesus Christ. So, of course, this message is only to the born-again believer. If you're not born again, it is not well with you, sir. It is not well with you, ma'am. I don't care how big your bank account is. I don't care how many great kids you have, or whatever you make a year, or whatever your job is, or it doesn't matter to me. It's not well with you. It may be well with you by world standards this second, but come on. You surely know somebody who lost a job in one day, who lost a family member in the blink of an eye, who lost their health. One second they thought they were great, they went for their checkup, and now they've got colon cancer, and it's terminal. So don't think for a second this whole, life's good for me and I don't even know God. It's good for you today. You certainly don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And you, if you sit in a quiet moment and think about it, you know people that things were going great for them and then all of a sudden life came crashing down. And now you've got nothing. But to a born-again believer, regardless of what goes on around them, they have God. And again, the born-again believer who is right with God, is being diligent, is keeping His commandments, they have God in their life, and to that person, it is well with my soul. You say, I don't believe it. Well, let's take some examples. So let's now continue on. Let's go to 2 Kings. And so I'll give you just a few examples of this to show you how men and women of God, regardless of the circumstance, I already gave you one, this brother who wrote, it is well with my soul. How do you think he was able to say that? You who aren't born again who happen to be listening to me, you lose your daughter or your son, your four daughters, and you were wealthy, and every source of rental property you had is all gone in one day. Do you think you'd be saying it's well with my soul? I don't think you would. I don't care how positive you are. I don't care what Dr. Phil says. I don't care what positive thinking. It's not going to get you very far when the rubber meets the road. And so you can't say that. But that brother, that Horatio Spafford, he was able to say that because simply he was born again and he knew God and he was right with God. He was a devout man of God. And so despite the loss of everything in his life, he was able to say, it is well with my soul. So let's go to 2 Kings 4 and let's go ahead and pick it up in verse 8. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. Check our time because I only scheduled this for an hour tonight. So I'll make sure we get this in before the hour's up. So 2 Kings 4, and let's go ahead in verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed on Shunem, where there was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned into thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in thither. I'm in verse 11 of 2 Kings chapter 4. Excuse me. And it fell on a day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou speak for the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to the mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. And he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Now, that's a thing right there. Her son died. I mean, he was grown, but he was, you know, I don't, he was a young man anyway, still there with the parents, and he died. Start bawling, go get the husband, let's call the undertaker, when's the funeral? She took him up and laid him on Elisha's bed and went out. She shut the door and went out. This is a woman of faith. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. She didn't even say to her husband, he's dead. She said, I need to speak to this man of God. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. This is a statement of faith. Her son's dead in the house, up in the man of God's bed with the door closed. She goes out to the husband and says, hey, we need to call this man of God. And he's like, why? What's going on? And she said, it will be well. It'll be well. That is a statement of faith. She was a woman of God. Her son's dead, but because she knows God, he has respect unto her, despite life circumstance, heartbreaking, absolutely. She says it'll be well. She makes a prophetic statement here. It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thee riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. Now, in the world's terms, it wasn't well. She's got a dead son at home, up in a room on a bed with the door closed. There's nothing well about that. But because she was a woman of faith, she trusted God, she said, it is well. She prophetically declared it would be in verse 23, and then in verse 26, she answered, it is well. Verse 27, and when it came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. Obviously, she wasn't laughing. I mean, you could tell she was vexed. But she still, even in this state where this man of God figures out this woman's vexed, her soul is vexed within her. Of course she is vexed. Her son's dead. Only son she had. But even then, she said, it's well. And the rest of the story, Elisha follows her back. He does it through faith. He lays on the child. He puts his mouth on the mouth, eyes on the eyes. And the child comes back. God brings his child back to life. This is right here an example of someone who, by the world's standards, that's a terrible day. But she said, despite that, it is well. That's what I'm talking about, you Christians. We can do this. Loss of life, family, loss of job, it is well. My prayer is the next big trial that comes my way, no matter what it is, it will be well with my soul. And we're going to pray that at the end together. But let's continue on. Let's go to Acts 5. I don't have a whole lot of other scriptures because I think the point gets made concisely with just a few passages. We don't need to belabor this. So Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. In fact, let's back up just to verse 39. This is some of the apostles before Gamaliel and the Pharisees defending why they're speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. And so verse 39, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, this is to Gamaliel, who was not with the disciples, he actually was siding with the Pharisees here, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. That's someone, they just got beat. They were beaten for doing nothing more than preaching the gospel. They weren't beaten because of wrongdoing. But they were rejoicing. It was well with them. In the face of a beating, it was well. Stay in Acts, go to Acts chapter 16. A very similar account here. Acts chapter 16 and verse 24. This is Paul and Silas. They're thrust into prison. Not for wrongdoing. And so I'm in Acts 16:23. And when they had laid, now look at this. This is on Paul and Silas. And when they had laid many stripes on them, that means they were whipped, not a few whips, not a few lashes. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They were whipped with many lashes for no wrongdoing. Feet fast in the stocks for merely preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That's someone who's able to say, it is well. I wonder what I would be like in that spot. You got to put yourself, it's easy to read over these passages and gloss over them. But you got to ask, you know, if I got whipped, I've never been whipped. I mean, I got whipped as a child with a belt, but I mean, this is different. This is like cat of nine tails, lashes, split your back open whip. And I've never been whipped like that. And then thrown into prison at midnight with your feet. I mean, even that, prison at midnight. I want to be in my bed at midnight. I want to be sleeping. They're in a jail cell. Feet in the stocks. Wasn't even comfortable. And they had their back was marked up from lashes. That doesn't heal right away. So it would have been painful sitting there. And despite that, they're singing and worshiping God. The question you got to ask yourself is, realistically, be realistic with yourself. What would I have been doing? I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that, saints. I don't know how it would be. I want to know. I think we need to know. So I'm preaching to myself tonight as well. But I want to say it as well with my soul, no matter what. Just like these, we read three examples. There's other examples. We're not going to take any more. I mean, we read a modern-day example with that brother who wrote it, the song It Is Well With My Soul. We saw Old and New Testament. We see Christians going through trial and persecution and suffering and saying, literally, in the case of the Shumanite woman, it is well. The brother Sapphard, it is well. He made a song around that. Paul and Silas, the fact that they're in jail singing at midnight with their back ripped up for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was well with them. By the world's standards, there's nothing well about that. By the world's standards, your blood, your back is marred, you're bleeding, you're in a jail cell, it probably wasn't very a nice place, and your feet are in the stocks, which isn't comfortable. All you probably want to do is lay down on your stomach and just lay there on a comfort, in comfort. You can't even do that, yet they were singing. That's someone who's able to say, no matter what my lot, I'm going to say it's well with my soul. Saints, we got to get there. You understand, we're in the last time. And I don't know, I mean, if we're around for the Great Tribulation, it's going to be as a time such as never was. Now, you listening to me, if you've been taught that the church is raptured out any second and it will not go through the Great Tribulation, you have been taught a lie that is not scriptural. The church is going to go through the Great Tribulation. The whole point of it is to purify the saints and get ready for and make a bride ready. We're not, as the church today is not ready for Jesus Christ. This bride is not ready. The church will be made ready through the tribulation. But, you know, that's going to be a time such as never was in the history of the world. Spend some time and look at some rough moments in history. Look at invading armies or the plague or whatever you want to look at. Bad times for humankind. The slavery epic in the United States, bad times. And all of those are not as bad as the tribulation is going to be. It's such a time as never was. And God's still going to turn to us for a testimony. And that testimony, brethren, has got to be, it is well. And if you can't say it is well today in circumstance, I don't know if you're going to say it as well if you happen to be one of the tribulation saints that's going to go through the tribulation. God is going to turn to us, those brethren that are alive during the tribulation, for a testimony. And there will be men and women of God that give a testimony, that will say, it is well. Will you be one of them? By God's grace, we will be, in Jesus' name. Let's, just a few more passages. 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief. That's what we've seen examples of. Suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? There's really no glory in that. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That's what I just got done saying. God's going to turn to you. And let's forget the tribulation. In the world right now, you that are hearing my voice, and me, all of us, God is still turning to us now for a testimony in this world. Don't just think that's just during the tribulation. God has always turned to his people in any time, in any dispensation, for a testimony. What kind of testimony are you giving? 1 Peter 3, verse 17, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. That's the same thing we just read. And when you suffer for well-doing, in other words, you didn't do wrong, you're right with God. You are obedient to God. You're in good standing with God. You're a man of God. And you suffer wrongfully, you still got to say it is well. It is well. And Satan wants to wear you out. So just because you're saying it is well today, just take it one day at a time. Satan says, okay, he's saying it's well today. That's fine. 6 months from today, I'm going to do this plan, and we'll strike him this way, and we'll see if he's still saying it's well then. You've got to be aware of that and praying against that. 1 Peter chapter 4, last passage. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. We're all going to have fiery trials. Brother Safford had a fiery trial. He lost his son and four daughters and a lot of his income in the space looked like about 2 years. He responded by writing, it is well with my soul. The Shumanite woman, the woman of faith, she had a trial. The only son she had, she got it later in life, he died. What was her response? It is well. Paul and Silas, backs ripped up with a lash, sitting in feet fast in the stocks at midnight. What were they singing? It is well. I mean, they were singing hymns. That's saying, I mean, you're singing a hymn in that condition. You're saying, it is well with my soul. 1 Peter chapter 4, again, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Rejoice, because it is well with you. To be able to say it is well in the face of a trial, I'm talking as a man or woman of God, it takes hope and faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, hope is the anchor of our soul. Now you kind of see it playing here with being able to say it as well. You got to be grounded for that. You got to have gravity. Can't be tossed to and fro in the wind with doctrines and such. And faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For you to say it's well with my soul in the middle of a severe trial, you're saying it's well with my soul because I know God's in control. He's allowed this. And at the end of the day, this is part of my walk. He's doing it to make me better. I'm doing it to get a new testimony. I'm going to do it to have overcome. And one day I'll be with him. You're doing all that out of faith. That there is a reward at the end of this thing. That there is faith to faith. That there is this thing of overcoming. That there is God. It takes faith. Where are you tonight with your faith and your hope? If your hope's low, if your faith's little, then start praying. Lord, give me more faith. Lord, help me in my faith. Lord, give me faith in Jesus' mighty name. Increase my faith in Jesus' mighty name. Where are you tonight? Lord, increase our faith. That's a prayer you can pray. That's a righteous prayer. Lord, increase my faith. Give me more faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we were talking about hope. Romans chapter 5. Hope's the anchor for your soul. Where's your hope? It's important. An anchor for your soul is important. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glorying in tribulations also. Do you see that? That's saying, it is well with my soul. You know, in America, we're not raised to be able to take the lash. We're not raised that way here. We're not raised to take a scourging. And you got to be aware of that. Well, I just read. I'm in Romans 5, 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That's saying, it is well with my soul. In what? Tribulation. Knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience works experience, and experience brings hope. You want hope? You need experience, which comes from your patience, which comes from enduring tribulation. And hope will make you not ashamed. I mean, with hope, you'll make it. You'll endure. You won't be ashamed at the coming of Christ. That's what that means. So where are you tonight? So, saints, let's pray together here as we wrap this up. And you can declare, you know, it's always good to declare things out loud. So, you know, when I'm praying, you say in your own words and declare things out loud. So, we're going to pray that we want to pray for increased faith, that we're going to be able to say, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise your mighty name. We come to you again, Lord God. You are the God of hope. Heavenly Father, I bless your mighty name. Give us hope, Lord. Increase our hope, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, that we will glory in tribulations. That through that, my patience will be worked. And through that, I'll have experience, and experience will increase my hope. It'll bring me hope, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. I will glory in tribulations. Make that prophetic declaration, brother. Make that prophetic declaration, sister. I will glory in tribulations in Jesus' mighty name. I will say it is well with my soul. Come what may, I will say it is well with my soul. Lord God, help me get to the point and to the place spiritually that I can say it is well with my soul no matter what. No matter what Satan hurls at me. No matter what setbacks I face. No matter what loss I suffer. No matter what pain I feel. I will say it is well with my soul in Jesus' mighty name. I will say it is well with my soul in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help it be well with my soul. Lord, help me be obedient and in good standing and in right standing with you, Lord God, that I can say it is well in Jesus' mighty name. Help me, Lord God, that I will be able to be pleasing to you in all obedience in Jesus' mighty name. Help me, Lord God, that I will diligently keep your commandments, order my steps aright in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me do right in your sight, that I can say it is well with my soul in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, increase our faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us and strengthen us to be faithful and to glory in tribulations, just like we read different accounts of brethren that were able to say it is well with my soul. I will be like those saints in Jesus' mighty name. I will be like that Shumanite woman. I will be like Paul and Silas in Jesus' mighty name. I will be like Brother Safford in Jesus' mighty name. I will be able to say it is well with my soul, come what may. Lord, let me just be right with you through obedience and faith, and then I'll be able to say it is well with my soul in Jesus' mighty name. Every crooked path in my life is going to be made straight. Declare that prophetically. Every crooked path in my life, I am commanding you to be made straight in Jesus' mighty name. Everything that's twisted will be straightened out in Jesus' mighty name. Every portion of darkness will have light on it in Jesus' mighty name. I will be transparent in my life in Jesus' name. I'll be transparent in my walk in Jesus' mighty name. I will be a book that is be able to be read by all men at any given time for a good testimony. Lord, you will turn to me for a testimony in this world, and I will have a good testimony and a good report by faith. Say that, saints, with me. Declare that prophetically. Lord, you will turn to me for a testimony in this world, and by faith I'll have a good report in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, for those right now that are suffering, that are suffering loss, loss of job, loss of family members, loss of health, whatever it is, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would help them say, it is well with my soul. Increase their faith. Increase their hope, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that they'll have that peace and comfort that comes from knowing you and being obedient to you. Lord, if there's something they're lacking in their life, if there's an area that's not obedient, make it known to them, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I pray for repentant hearts. I pray, Lord God, that you would help them. I pray for all those that need comfort right now. You're the God of comfort. Provide comfort in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Lord, that there'll be a testimony out of this for your glory, Lord, for your glory only, that no matter what they're going through, they're going to come out and say, it is well with my soul. I don't care what they said yesterday. I don't care if they murmured yesterday. I don't care if they were murmuring 2 weeks ago. Today, starting right now, they're going to say, it is well with my soul in Jesus' name. And when they say it's well with my soul, when they declare that out loud, it will be well with their soul. When they declare that out loud, they're going to be released from a prison they're in Jesus' mighty name. When they declare that out loud, they're going to be loosed from spirit of murmuring. They're going to be loosed from mumbling. They're going to be loosed, Heavenly Father, from grumbling in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, they're going to, when they declare by faith out loud, it is well with my soul in the middle of their trial, they're going to be loosed, Heavenly Father, from the spirit of murmuring in Jesus' name. They're going to be strengthened to be faithful. They're going to be strengthened to be obedient. And they're going to have a good testimony in this world in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name, Lord God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, brethren, that's the message for tonight. If you need prayer over something specific, go to our website, www.gatheringofthesaints.com, and you can email us, give us whatever information you think we need to know, a way to get a hold of you, and prayer points or whatever. We will call and pray with you. We have done that. We have called brethren and prayed over the phone and prayed for different prayers of healing and have seen and had reports of healing that way. I don't believe you have to be in the same room. Jesus Christ was not in the same room every time he prayed for someone, and they were able to be healed and not even be in the same room. And I believe that still it works like that today. We have seen that happen. So if you want prayer, please go to www.gatheringofthesaints.com and email us, and we will pray with you and for you. We do not ask for any money. This is not about money. There's no brother I know that is associated with this fellowship that's ever asked for a dime, and that's just how we do it. We don't want money. We will use our own money to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're not going to use the kingdom of Jesus Christ to make money, and that's how it's supposed to be. Jesus Christ did not charge for anything, and we don't believe we should either. So let's not worry about that part of things. You can go to our website and find other resources, whether it be old newsletters for reading, teaching, encouragements. Excuse me. There's past messages that you'll be blessed with, increase your faith and corrections and teaching and doctrine and so forth in Jesus' name. God has given us a miraculous level understanding. If anything he's given us a miraculous level understanding of doctrine and the spirit of teaching. So that's what we have been given from the Lord, and that's what we want to give to you. So all of our things, again, are free. We don't charge or ask for money, and we never will by God's grace. You can catch Brother Brad on Wednesday night on the Gathering of the Saints Blog Talk Radio blogcast, Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock American Central Time. That's Brother Brad in a prayer and preaching, encouragement, ministration. And then this is, again, Brother Jim on Thursday nights, 7 o'clock American Central Standard Time with preaching and teaching as God leads. So that's all we have tonight, brethren. I pray that we'll all have a good testimony in all trials and tribulations in Jesus' name. I pray that we'll always be able to say, through obedience to Jesus Christ and doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, that we'll always be able to say, it is well with my soul in Jesus' mighty name. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.
sharing the